Yes.
First of all, I think we should go to the first case. Yes. Those people who wish for death because of the some hardships and difficulties.
Yes.
You know that I think these people should understand their reasons and philosophies behind these kind of hardships and difficulties. Just very briefly, one of the philosophies of these kind of physical hardships and difficulties is because of the perfection of human being.
That's right.
You know, it is naturally a human being wanted to, you know, some kind of have some kind of closeness toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get some kind of perfection.
Yes.
Why are these kind of hardships and difficulties? Mm-hmm. And of course, we have many other philosophies behind that.
You mean the tests and trials that are in the world as the hardships could also be a means of perfection for the human beings, of course, in the religious and spiritual sense of the word. Because in the modern world, in the capitalist liberal understanding of the world, difficulties and hardships are not concerned as a kind of means for perfection or something like that.
Exactly.
They are an obstacle on the way.
Exactly. I want to say that we do not want to go to the all philosophies of
yes.
man. For example, sometimes human beings themselves, by mm-hmm. their choices, they have created these kind of difficulties and hardships. Okay? And we have different philosophies behind that, but part of the philosophies and wisdoms behind the hardships and difficulties of human being is for him or her to get perfected.
That's right.
Okay?
Okay.
And of course, why are these hardships and difficulties, the potentialities of human being indicate itself and you can get more perfected through these hardships and difficulties.
That's right.
But as I mentioned, some people, maybe they wish for death because of some spiritual issues. They
yes.
wanted to some kind of get closeness toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And this idea is rejected too.
Mm-hmm.
I said that in the beginning that mm-hmm. we have no evidence in the divine religion of Allah, this
right.
Islam, that you are allowed to wish for death.
That's all right. There is no wish for this by the saints and the great men of Allah, including Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams, the Aimmatul Masumin. But the case is that at the same time, they do not fear death as the ordinary people might. Death for them is a sweet transfer from this world to the other world to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. Okay. They are not fearful of
yes.
death,
okay.
but we are talking about wishing for
wishing
death.
For this. That's
okay?
right. Okay.
It has been not allowed to wish for
mm-hmm.
that. Rather, we have, if you're, you know, spiritually
mm-hmm.
speaking, we have in the verse of Noble Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ
That's right.
If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you feel some kind of affection toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should follow me,
yes.
Noble Prophet Muhammad, referring
yes.
to him.
Okay.
I want to say that very briefly speaking, if you feel some spiritual issues,
mm-hmm.
you should do that via obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
Showing your servitude toward
mm-hmm.
him, not wishing for death or, for example, anything else. I want to say that obedience of Allah subhanahu
yes.
wa ta'ala sometimes, you know, requires very hard effort
yes.
from you.
Okay.
Or, for example, sincere action toward other people and
yes.
different branches
yes,
of
yes.
obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and servitude of Allah
That's right.
subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a reality of this kind of, let's say, moral, you know, let's
mm-hmm.
say, spiritual
yes.
journey toward Allah
That's
subhanahu
right.
wa ta'ala.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Even literally speaking, we cannot wish for this on our tongue. I mean, in our speaking. Sometimes we see the people when are in difficult situation, they wish for this or they start self-cursing or cursing others, okay? All these must be replaced with the concept of shukr or thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is always a more negative aspect or side to the story you are in.
You know, shukr or gratefulness toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or optimism.
Yes.
Why we should not be to have some kind of optimistic approach toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
That we have husnul dhanni billah ta'ala, which means to have some kind of optimism toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have positive expectation from Him, the Almighty.
Okay.
This is very important in the different narrations of Ahlul Bayt, that you should always have some kind of optimistic approach and expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all right. We know that we are living in a world nowadays, according to the statistics, the rate of suicide and commitment of suicide is really high. Living in this modern world with all its developments, the human beings, because of the lack of spirituality and religion, are getting somewhere to commit suicide. And in most of the cases, when you just refer to the cases of the suicide across the world, you can find the social, personal, we can say, problems that are taking place in the modern world. I think that wishing for death, if it is, we can say, it becomes a habit for a person, will get somewhere like committing suicide, isn't it?
Exactly. It's, you know, it's kind of some steps toward that.
Yes.
It prepares you to have kind of to commit this suicide. Because if you always, you know, make your mind busy with different these kind of negative thoughts that, you know, I do not have hope, I wish for my death, and these kind of negative ideas, gradually you become prepared to commit this crime of suicide.
Yes.
And it is very dangerous. And because of that, we are not allowed to do that wish for death.
Yes, lose of hope is really a danger. Yes, lose of
rather, hope. Exactly. Yes. Rather, we should be hopeful, optimistic, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and increase our understanding of religion.
Yes.
This is very important. And real spirituality, which is, you know, embedded in this divine religion of Islam.
That's all right.
And, you know, to have some kind of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we call it tawakkul.
Yes. Really, the concept of tawakkul is beautiful because it, every day with all this problem, it gives you a ray of hope in the heart that there is a light in front of your eyes. Just go towards it, okay?
A lot of hopes that we have.
Yes.
I don't know why despair, why stress.
Okay.
Even, you know, within the hardships, if you go to the different difficulties and hardships, still you have a lot of hopes.
That's all right.
Toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning of reliance in Allah, which is tawakkul, according to the narrations, that it means that you should not be fearful of anything.
That's all right.
Or any, you know, nothing can threaten your life.
Yes.
Nothing can takes away your hope. Allah takhafa ma Allah ahada.
That's right.
Which means not to be fearful of anything. When you feel that you have some kind of, you know, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
You know?
That's all right. Okay. Do we have any special case in religions or any personality wishing for death? And is it the same, we can say, do we understand or interpret it as this? We can say physical death that we have. Do we have any example?
In the verse of Noble Quran, we have one, maybe one an example in this regard about Lady Maryam or Lady Mary.
Mary, okay.
We have that in the verse of Noble Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya laytani mittu qabla hada wa kuntu nasyan mansiya. I wish I had been died before that and I have been forgotten totally. In this beautiful verse of the Noble Quran, Lady Maryam, we should look at the context of the revelation. Lady Maryam, because, or Lady Mary, she was single and, you know, let's say single and virgin.
Yes.
And in that situation, she got pregnant with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay. And in that, you know, disastrous situation, she asked for her death because she was very fearful of the accusation of people towards her.
Yes.
And because of that, she asked for death. And actually, it's kind of metaphor in this verse of Noble Quran. And because she was feeling kind of a stress and pressure from the people around her that they're going to accuse her of,
adultery or
adultery.
Something like that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And of course, it was,
okay.
She was very far from that. She was pure lady from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, you know that in the verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted Jesus Christ to her via miracle.
Yes.
But people, ordinary people, could not understand that.
Okay.
And they were easily accused her of adultery. Na'udhu billah, we take refuge of Allah from these kind of accusations. But because of that, she kind of metaphorically asked for death because of this kind of pressure she was feeling. So it is not, it has nothing to do with our discussion of having and asking for death and wishing for death. Okay?
Yes.
The case is totally different from
that. So in such situation, was there any kind of asking for death by Lady Mary or something like that?
You know, it's showing kind of, if you go to the Arabic literature, it's kind of metaphor that when you feel heavy pressure and you cannot stand it, sometimes you ask for your death.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
It's kind of a spiritual idea that they are going to accuse me of this, adultery and so on and so forth. And because of that, she asked for her death.
That's right.
But our discussion is about some people because of some, financial problems or any other, materialistic problems, they ask and they wish for their death.
That's all right. That's all right. Especially in this modern world with all its difficulties and hardships, the people are day by day losing hope in Allah, in God, and in the term of course, in spirituality. Instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they rely on the people around. So when the people around are doing some mistakes, they lose all their hope. And there is no way back, okay?
Exactly.
So, for example, they ask for death, they commit suicide, or maybe they kill others or assassinate others in the society. And these are the problems of the modern world. And according to so many people, religion and spirituality, and the true sense of the world, in the Islamic sense of the world, can be a nice healing for such people because it gives them hope, it gives them, a light for future, and for living around the family and the society.
And more than that, if you have this kind of accurate understanding of universe, actually this, divine religion of Allah, which is Islam, gives you some kind of worldview.
That's right.
Accurate understanding of universe that you're living. What is the philosophy of creation? What is your destination?
That's right.
What was your origin? What you have been created for? Many questions that this divine religion provides you with beautiful, accurate answer for.
To the philosophy of life. Thank you very much, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the wish for death and is it at all allowed in Islam or not. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information and to download for free our previous episodes, refer to our website, parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A new bird species has been discovered on the southernmost islands of the Americas. Biologists are baffled.
Discovering new bird species is very, very difficult and rare because the world has been more focused on observing birds. Therefore, this means the discovery site is unique in the sub-Antarctic zone, on which Chile has important sovereignty. This raises the importance of caring for the environment and unique ecosystems, as these sites will allow us to carry out research on climate change, new species and behaviors.
The tiny bird weighs only 16 grams and has a large beak with black and yellow streaks along its body. Researchers say the animal is a subcategory of a species typically found in the Patagonia forest and inhabits tree trunks, but the newly discovered cousin has surprised scientists as it learned to burrow and live in a harsh tundra climate with bitter temperatures. The Diego Ramirez archipelago, where the bird was found, is an isolated bit of land. It also lacks mammalian predators and woody plants. Biologists and researchers from Chilean universities and various academic centers studied the birds for 6 years before announcing the new species. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance cost. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up their crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They are growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade, from divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your queries regarding the upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmi Afkum. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. Well, Brother Miqdad, in our previous sessions, we have been talking about the dangers the animation and screens carry with them and how parents need to be aware of that, how children need to be aware of that, and how can parents save their children from all those dangers. We talked about one of the dangers that was worldview that's being portrayed through these animations and the games, video games, basically. So what else, what are the other dangers?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, yes, we've been talking about bringing an awareness to parents and youths about the dangers that video games and animations and serials can pose to our faith, to our values and our principles and lives. And we need to be concerned about just being freely watching and being fed by everything that comes from the screen. We need to be aware and know what's happening so that we can be at least be on guard. A person who is on guard, a person who filters the information that comes through to him or her, is going to be much more careful, much more wise in what they intake. And this is, inshallah, something we hope that all the listeners, inshallah, will take on board. We talked about changing worldview. And the second thing that we want to talk about today is how animations or serials or video games bring about role models in our lives, especially right. role models for children.
Mm-hmm.
And this is extremely dangerous. So a role model is a person. It can be a person. It can be either a real person or either an imaginary person.
Okay.
That is something or someone that we respect, that we admire. And because of this admiration for this person, it leads us towards that which they have. That okay. perfection which that they have is something that we aspire towards, that we are driven by. So when you have a role model, you want to be like them, right? You want to change yourself to be like that, because what they have in terms of perfection, that you count that as a perfection, it's not necessarily true to be a perfection, but you count that as a perfection. Therefore, you want that for yourself, and therefore you're driven towards that perfection which this person has.
Okay.
And therefore, you aspire towards that and you want to become to that. And therefore, role models are often the goal towards which we kind of take our life towards.
Okay.
So in our lives, we want to achieve something. We want to aspire towards something. And that is usually something that is manifested in this role model that we have who
True.
Has that perfection.
Yeah.
In Islam, this concept has been talked about many times in the Holy Quran as well as in our Hadith. So the Holy Prophet is the best of role model, because the Holy Prophet has true human perfection. And therefore, this is something
azim,
that we aspire
yes.
towards.
Yeah. He has akhlaq azim. He's got the best of the ethics, morals.
Exactly. So we aspire towards that. We're driven towards that. And if we follow the footstep and really are attracted towards that, then inshallah we too can become like the Holy Prophet. And this being a path for our life, or this being a goal for our life, is a very good goal, because that which the Prophet has is in reality a true human perfection.
Exactly. Well, we talked about the worldview, and another danger was the role models that these animations are bringing. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. I'm with Brother Miqdad, and we're talking about the dangers that the animation world, that the screens, that the video games are bringing with them. Yes, Brother Miqdad.
So once we understand that there's a true perfection, that this perfection is embodied by a human being or an imaginary role model, this person becomes a role model, and therefore we're driven and aspire towards that. Now, what animations or movies or serials or video games do is that they bring forward for us a role model, for
okay.
us or for our children, a role model.
Yeah.
And what happens is that they take this individual to be having a perfection that they are driven towards, that they want to become like. So, for example, to give you a couple of examples, one example is Emma in Frozen, right? Emma is a role model for many people. And how this is created as well, you find this is very clear. What happens is that the animation comes out, and with it comes a huge level of marketing, whether it's bags, whether it is posters, whether it is
everything related to this theme of Frozen.
Yeah.
And so Emma becomes a role model. Now, what is that perfection that Emma has? What drives people towards Emma? Or towards what do you think a girl will see in Emma that is perfect and that will then change her mindset to be like, I want to be like her?
All right.
In most cases, it can be her beauty.
Right? All right.
And her beauty is portrayed by a body image that's pretty much impossible for any real girl to achieve.
All right.
According to research, you find that either 1% or 2% of the population can actually achieve this body
model
image.
Model-like body image.
Body image that's portrayed in on TV.
Okay.
Right. That's first. Secondly, it's not a human perfection at all. Right.
Okay. She's,
the human perfection that is being given to her is an imaginary human perfection. Right.
Yeah.
The physical beauty that we have is not a true perfection we need to be aspired towards or
true.
Spend out. And you find that a lot of girls will go through severe diet, will go through severe mental depression or anxiety because of being affected by this idea that I need to be in a certain way in terms of my physical body, in terms
exactly.
of physical image. So this is driven by having role models that kind of have that. Now, this is Emma is an example. You can go across the board and see so many different examples of this where a role model is portrayed in its physical beauty.
Yeah.
Right. And this obviously leads to so much detrimental effects in terms of their mental health, in terms of their physical health, etc. And generally, it brings about a wrong worldview in terms of what is true human perfection. Another thing that Emma could, for example, could portray is going against the norm. Now, for those who've watched Frozen, you know that she's hiding something. That she has something in her that she wants to kind of control. But the solution is not to hide it. The solution is not to be shy about it. The solution is to openly say it. Explore it, openly say it. Don't be shy of it.
Doesn't matter if it breaks your norms.
Exactly.
All right.
And for those who watch it, you know what that is. Inshallah, I don't want to go through it right now.
All right. So we talked about that these animations or these video games or films can bring something that can... the role models, another danger was role models, and those role models could bring so many things with them, like body image and imaginary human perfection, and like going against norms. We'll talk more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "No father has granted a gift to his child better than good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother Mikhtar, and we're talking about the dangers of screen, animation, video games, and things like that. Yes, brother.
So another example, again, Emma was an imaginary example. Another imaginary example is Khan. So Marvel came out with this new superhero called Khan, a Pakistani Muslim girl who has superpowers.
Okay.
They, according to themselves, they made this Marvel superhero to attract and to bring on board
Muslim girls.
Muslims and Asian population, basically.
Okay.
So Khan, again, she doesn't wear hijab. She drinks. And obviously her level of religiosity when it comes to true religion, she just is a Muslim by name. And obviously she's Asian as well. She's Pakistani. She speaks Urdu. She carries books, that Islamic books in her hand. She has Islamic books, but obviously she doesn't practice any of the religion that we need to practice. This Khan, as a superhero, is now a role model for girls today.
All right.
So girls today see her as what we need to aspire to become, right? That girl who's outgoing, who's a superhero, who's an amazing person. I want to be like her. What does it mean to be like her? It means to have the characteristics that she has, none of which are Islamic, none of which are to do with our religion. She has relationships outside of marriage.
She has no hijab, no concept of hijab, etc. She's supporting the American values that are out there.
Okay.
Basically, brainwashing children to take that as a goal in life, and that and those values and principles that come with it. So yeah. You can see how this is dangerous when it comes to having this as a role model.
All right.
We can carry on with the list. So these were just two kind of examples from animations, but even in the real world, so actors have come across and become real role models. So Emma Watson, for example.
All right.
Or for example, this actress, for example, who goes to Africa and adopts different children, orphans from Africa. She now has more than 3 or 4. I can't remember. I lost count. And so people count that as an amazing act of charity, where she goes to Africa, adopts children who have been suffering from war, etc. She now becomes a role model, basically.
Celebrity whitewashing, we must say.
Exactly. And how this leads us then to move away from our religion, move away from reality, is something that we need to really think about.
All right. So we actually got to think about like what is being portrayed. We have to analyze it very, very deeply to get an idea about the worldviews that are being portrayed to us. Thank you so much, Brother McDowell, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. A group has appeared demanding that the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, and other infallible Shiites Imam be not remembered and commemorated. They do not know the outcome and consequences of recitation of eulogies and lamentation. They do not realize that it is the uprising of Imam al-Hussein against tyranny that has been preserved, and this day it has set off this movement. This move is but a ray, a reflection. They do not know that weeping for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, means perpetuation of his uprising and maintaining the effect that even a smaller number could stand up against a great empire.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge from Satan the accursed. And in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, we start another episode of the program, The Spring of Truth. Welcome to this program in which we try to reflect and contemplate and shed some light and paraphrase some of the sayings and valuable words of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh, who is the founder of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Under the heading of training and education, Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh says, training and purification take precedence over learning. Train, that which is important is training. Knowledge alone is of no use. Knowledge alone is harmful. So it happens a lot that you see people who spend like years of their life learning and studying, and you know, sometimes they even travel to some other parts of the world where there are Islamic seminaries. They study hard, they stop working, they put all their energy, all their efforts to study. But then the problem is that some of them, they forget the fact that they also need to practice what they are learning. At the time of the Noble Prophet, there were a group of people who were learning the Noble Quran, and they would really invest on how they were learning it. I mean, they would learn one verse of it one by one. They would actually, you know, learn the verses of the Quran. And upon learning it, they would spend a good amount of time to practice what they had learned. And they wouldn't just go on memorizing the whole Quran. And then at the end of the day, you see like people knowing the Quran by heart. But when it comes to their practical aspect of their life, with their family, with their friends, with their colleagues, you really don't see any of what they've learned in their practical lives. And this is really a pity. When people realize that we know the Quran by heart, their expectations from us increase so much, because they say that there should be like a big difference between me who doesn't know the Quran and you who knows the entire Quran by heart. I'm just saying that whatever, actually, it's one of our duties to go after religious knowledge. And once you go after it, be super careful to put whatever that you learn into practice. Often you don't have to say or preach Islam by words. The way you act, the way you treat your family members, the way you treat your neighbors, the way you treat your coworkers is a very good and louder way of spreading the message of Islam. Thank you very much for being with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Queen and the Royal Family.
Part 2.
The UK has both historically and contemporaneously prided itself on its tradition of open wills, whereby wills are open to inspection by the public, mostly out of concern to prevent theft and abuse of authority. And yet the royal family has dissented from this long-established national practice by their ability, since 1910, to seal their wills. The untimely death in 1910 of errant Prince Francis, the brother-in-law of King George V, set in stone a tradition which the British royal family jealously guards to this day, the concept and practice of sealed wills. The catalyst for the un-British practice of sealed wills was Prince Francis' erratic, if not reckless, lifestyle, best exemplified by his compulsive gambling and extreme womanizing. In his will, Francis is believed to have left priceless family jewels to one of his more flamboyant mistresses, Ellen Constance, the Countess of Kilmery, with whom he was rumoured to have had an illegitimate child. This significant act of indiscretion and breach of protocol spurred the royal family into action, first by suppressing the will and subsequently reaching out to Ellen Constance with a hefty bribe, £10,000 to be exact, which amounts to £700,000 in today's money. For the past 100 years or so, English courts have upheld the monarchy's demand that wills of its members, in stark contrast to the wills of the general public, should be sealed and, in effect, kept secret in perpetuity. On the few occasions when this self-declared right to secrecy has been challenged in the courts, notably in 2006 by one Robert Brown, who claims he is an illegitimate child of the deceased Princess Margaret, this has been quashed by the Queen's judges. The precedent set by the suppression of the will of Prince Francis, above all, demonstrates that the British legal system, rooted firmly in the principles of English law, never flinches when it comes to accommodating the whims and fancies of the monarchy. This was in evidence, most recently, in the aftermath of the demise of Elizabeth Angela Marguerite Bowes Loyne, also known as the Queen Mother, who died in March 2002.
A mother, a mum, the Queen Mum.
In keeping with royal tradition, established in 1910 in the wake of Prince Francis's demise, the Queen Mother's will was sealed up on the orders of the High Court, which means that on present trajectory, in view of the total hegemony of the monarchy, it is closed to inspection and publication in perpetuity. The blanket secrecy surrounding royal wills is central to the secrecy in which they conduct all their personal affairs. From wealth accumulation to the conduct of sordid affairs and other scandalous relationships, the case of Diana's husband, Prince Charles, speaks volumes. Diana's husband and her heir to the throne, who is no stranger to sordid and secret affairs. Charles's most infamous escapades was with his childhood sweetheart, Camilla Parker Bowles, with whom he started a secret affair in 1986, 5 years after his marriage with Diana. This is the same Prince Charles whose love for hunting animals is equal to, if not excessive of, his love for human flesh. An avid fox hunter, Charles once famously said he would not stop hunting foxes in the British countryside until the practice was made illegal. Fox hunting was made illegal in the UK in November 2004, and while it is not known if Prince Charles partakes in these illegal hunts, it is well known that for years he lobbied former Prime Minister Tony Blair to repeal the ban. By all credible accounts, Charles's brother Andrew is more morally compromised, as evidenced by his long-standing relationship with the deceased American pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Prince Andrew, or the Duke of York to use his formal title, is the quintessential royal playboy, as demonstrated by his long list of romantic entanglements, even after his ill-fated marriage to Sarah Ferguson in 1986. Beginning in 1980, the Duke of York has conducted affairs with an astonishing number of glamorous women, including the former playboy model Courtney Love, reality TV star Caroline Stanbury, and the American photographer and actress Koos Stark. Andrew's wife of 10 years, the notoriously volatile Sarah Ferguson, was also no stranger to scandal and sordid affairs.
Her immoral and carefree lifestyle exploded onto the public domain after photos of her lounging by the pool with her financial advisor, the Texan millionaire John Bryan, kissing and sucking her toes were published. However, what the British public sees in the way of royal scandals, which erupt onto the public sphere from time to time, is merely the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Plenty of dodgy dealings take place behind the scenes, which the public never hears about, as the monarchy's ironclad secrecy, enforced by the courts and broader machinery of